We only have a few minutes. We'll pick the bulk of this message up here next week. But what I would like to do is go on a little bit of a review. For the last two Sundays, we've been in Psalms 37, 3, 4, and 5. I preached on verse 3, trust in the Lord. Amy preached the next week, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And then today we'll start committing all, you know, commit everything to the Lord. Commit your work, commit your way to the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. And so if we could, the first scripture on our notes is Psalm 37, 3 through 7 in the Passion. Again, if you have not got the Passion translation, you need to pick it up. It's phenomenal. It's really, really a great, great translation of the Word of God. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep it up, guys. Keep trusting. Don't give up trusting in the Lord. And do what is right in His eyes. Make sure that we make it our aim to be well-pleasing, Paul said, to the Lord. Fix your heart on the promises of God. Can't tell you how important that is, that you are constantly looking to Jesus and His Word, looking on to Jesus, away from yourself, on to Jesus, keeping that Word before your eyes, His promises, and you will be secure. Don't you hate insecurity when you don't feel secure? There's no peace. I mean, if you want peace, you got to have security. Okay, and so it's really important that we get anchored. What is the anchor of the soul? Okay, if your life depended on answering this question, do you think any of you could venture out a little bit? Answer the question, please. Technically, He's that and everything. Come on, man. That's your go-to answer, Jesus. Okay, it's the Word, the Word of God, the Word of God, and specifically, that means you got to read it, understand it, declare that Word is called the anchor of our soul. It's what anchors you. Amen? So this security is because you fix your eyes on the promises of God. So we live in a very insecure world. I mean, the Bible says we're living in a time, and we do believe we're in the end times. How much time? That I don't know, but the Bible says, since the book of Acts, we've been in the end times. So if for 2,000 years you've been in the end times, it makes sense to consider we might be in the end of the end times. Okay? And it says that men's heart, Jesus said, men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming upon the earth. In the natural realm, the world is on fire. You know, these fires in Greece were so horrible, and the Northern California fires. Well, it's just indicative of this world on fire. Everything is pulsating. Everything is ramping up. There is more anger on the earth today. We can see what's happening politically. The Democrats hate the Republicans. Republicans put up with the Democrats. You know, so, no joke there too. My best jokes are just going flat today. Well, there's a couple things good. There's mint in that water, and we get cake here in a little bit, so it's all's not lost. So security is keeping your heart fixed. Fix your heart on the promises. Lock down. Lock your thoughts down. Lock your emotions down. Lock yourself into this thing. You know, I am absolutely putting myself in position to win because the Word of God is before my eyes. My heart is fixed. Proverbs 4, what's it say? Keep my Word before your eyes. Let them not depart from, keep them in your ears and let them not depart from your heart, for they are life to those who find it, and health and medicine to all your flesh. Make God, this is what Amy preached last week, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and He will provide for you what you desire the most. So the Word of God, we read that, and we ought to be doing backflips over that one verse. That verse ought to cause us to make major changes in our life. Yeah. Now, the way most of us live our life, we don't determine our feelings for most of us. And this includes me. I'm learning to set myself, and my emotions are going to follow my decision. But a lot of us wake up, how we feel, we pretty much begin living our day, you know, internally. I'm just going to get up, take my shower, brush my teeth, and I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to take off and do my job. And God, thank you for salvation. But it's not affecting our soul. It's not affecting our emotions. We have work to do that day, and we're going to be busy about it. And you're going to get through the day, and you're going to come home, and you're going to eat dinner, and you might watch something on TV that's, you know, something you're looking forward to, like America's Got Talent. And you might have lived that day with never experiencing ecstatic joy. Do you know the Bible says that the psalmist says, I'm exploding in joy. You're going to read a verse on these notes where it says, I've got roaring praise in my heart. Now, last week, did any of you have 1 hour of one day, put you on the spot, don't raise your hand, you know, can you tell me, and God's listening, that you had 1 hour last week where you were roaring in praise? No, I mean, you know, maybe a couple of us. But it is how the human condition is. We love God. We're not going to forsake God. We're not going to give up on the promises of God. And if I ask you, you'd say, yes, I'm a believer and I'm holding fast to the promises. And if I say, did any of you experience ecstatic joy? No, you don't know what kind of week I had. No. If the mountains can break forth in joy and singing, and the trees can start clapping for Isaiah 55:12 for the Orndorffs, then whatever circumstances in your life, they're going to bow their knee. Amen. And you can have this emotion of delight, over the top delight. You can make the decision to be joyful. I mean, joyful to where God is so great. I mean, I heard the Lord speak to me a few years ago, 10 years ago or so, and said, son, you got a problem with me. And I heard the Lord say, son, you got a problem. I'm listening. And He says, you're not speaking enough great faith words about me. You're faithful to me, but you're not magnifying. Oh, we say that word, but are you really emotionally magnifying the Lord? Are you gathering all your spiritual strength and bringing yourself into a place of emotional ecstasy? Over the top joy, because that's what that verse says in the Passion. Make God your utmost delight and pleasure. You know, that's why Amy said last week, you don't have to come to church. You get to. You get to. There should be such a joy that we have where you're walking hand in hand with God, your Father. Now, most of us, we God in our life, for the most part, is God. And then a part of that, God being God, then there's a portion of our walk where He's Father. But still, there's a distance. God is wanting to bring all of us into the intimacy of a relationship that's not based on need. A lot of us, our relationship with God is really based on need. Even our praying and our crying out is based on need. And God is God, and He's in His provision. He's Jehovah Jireh, and He loves, and He is the Father, and He knows the feebleness of human flesh, and He doesn't get weary. He doesn't give up on us because we're just a lot of times need-based with Him. We come to Him with needs. But wouldn't it be great if there was a time in each of our lives where the emotion of being with God overwhelmed you? Now, I go back 32 years with the blonde girl in the front row over here. And I played it really cool with you, honey. I was very calm, but my heart was beating inside my chest. I didn't let her know it. I didn't, you know, not till later. But I'm thinking, you know, we had the opportunity to date, and because of living in a different city, and this, my life wasn't able to do that at the time. And we basically said no to our relationship. We dated a few times. I was in Houston, Amy was in Dallas. But when I quit Exxon, moved and went to the ministry at a church in Dallas where Amy was, and Dr. Edwin Cole was preaching, and my job was to take care of the speakers. And so I'm standing there at the altar while Ed Cole is ministering to people. And there was a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and there is this incredibly gorgeous girl that I had said, no, I don't think I want to date her anymore. And the first words, with all that blonde hair of yours back then, she had a purple, some kind of long hair sweater. What?
Angora.
See, I remembered. And she's standing there, just smiling at me. And I'm looking at her. And while I said her name, I heard these words in my mind: you fool. But I played it cool. There was such a joy and emotion. And it wasn't long before Amy fell in love with me. I fixed on the first date Stouffer's lasagna. It worked for me. But this relationship was not mechanical. Our relationship was not a mechanical, robotic, you know. It was like Amy said last week, when we're talking till 2 in the morning and getting up at 6. And we did that every single day. Superhuman strength came to us over a 2 to 3 week period where we didn't need sleep. We were in love. Laurie, listen, you know, it's actually a medical reality. It's a drug that happens in your body. See what love can produce? And so I'm getting to a point. Make God, it says, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. I think you can talk yourself every day into joy. I think you can make a decision to reposition yourself so in front of God that it's you and Father. It's you and your big brother. It's you and the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that we're walking in the cool in the garden, cool of the day. That word cool is spirit. It's a template of how God designed us. When He made us, we were walking in intimacy and joy, and we were holding Father's hand. I'm telling you, there is a place today that we can be more than just, you know, a factual-based Christian. And you've got to get living by fact. Okay, that's number one. If you never get any emotion and feelings, you know, ever, well, at least you can walk by faith and the fact of God's Word. But oh, the joy that you can have. That's why a lot of times Psalm 103 has been one of my favorite psalms. Bless the Lord. all my soul, and all that is within me. Oh. And that's how a lot of times that verse starts out. It does. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And I'll say this, story, that was pitiful. You're not making your soul bless God. You're just, you know, mumbling words. Even though they are God's word, it's going to help a little. I mean, but we have a thing around here, out loud with an attitude. When it comes to God's word, you put your authority in those words. You position yourself where you're serious, where there's intent, where there's determination, where there's energy. You don't allow the physical condition of your mind or your emotions to determine how you handle the sword of the Spirit. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And so that's why one of the first tricks I learned about getting your soul right, I make a clenched fist. It lets me know I'm alive. You know, a lot of times you're just like going through the motion. Clench your fist. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. And forget none of His benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness, covenant love, and tender mercies. I began to declare the Word of God. I am making God my utmost desire by that activity I just did. I am making. It says here, make. That means you have to make. You have to do it. Make yourself. Make yourself. There's maybe one day a month I feel like making my bed. How many of you like making your bed first thing in the morning? Some of you don't make your bed. Yeah, it's a problem. Make your bed. You're going to feel good later when you walk in and see, I made that bed. So a lot of times you don't want to clean the kitchen, but you need to. Because a dirty kitchen is going to affect you emotionally. And you don't have any friends come over. Make the Lord the utmost desire. It says, make Him the utmost delight and desire and pleasure of your life. You can make God more than a need meter. You can make Him your best friend. You can laugh with God. I can't tell you how cool this moment was in my life in 2001. I just got in the revelation of the God-man. I kind of knew about the new creation, but the scope of what it really was, wasn't aware. I wasn't grasping it, even though I was thanking God I'm a new creation. But when God really opened up the new creation, I saw that we were part of a new creation, a man called the God-man. Jesus is the God-man, and we are His body. Okay, so we're in this new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a brand new species, is what that word is, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I just got him preaching about how cool that God becomes man and the humanity of Jesus right around Christmas. And so I talked about, you know, God, the incarnation, and just the humanity of Jesus. He called himself the Son of Man 82 times, the Son of God 6 times. So, you know, and I drove up to our house. I was getting out, sat there for a moment under the presence of the Lord. And I heard God have a belly laugh. He just broke out in laughter. I heard God laugh. And I heard Him say these words, I am so happy. Son, you're beginning to see who you are. That I can be a son of God and walk with God, not as an almighty, all-powerful being who in a second, in a millisecond He spoke and there stood a universe. But that all-powerful God is my dad. And I'm His boy. I am His son. And I don't have any weirdness about God. Guys, doozies. You guys ever commit a doozy? You get a doozy. What does that mean? You hit your head. I got a doozy bump on my head. But sin. Have you, anybody ever committed a doozy sin? Amy, I don't see your hand going up. When I think about doozy, there's a movie, Groundhog Day. Remember that in the line? That's a doozy. I've had doozies, but I also know that the blood is greater than those doozies. And that there is no, whether height nor depth of things, you know, demon powers, Romans 8, it says hunger, nakedness, peril, sword. Nothing can separate me from my Father. And I'm not quoting those verses just from the, you know, I'm trying to just convince myself He won't leave me when I'm in trouble. But I'm standing up on a mountaintop shouting the love relationship that I have with God. That's where God wants us to go. Make Him. Make God. You do it with your mouth. You do it by reading the Word. You do it by saying great faith words to people about God, what my Father's going to do. One of the fights that I remember with my twin brother, which I should remember a lot, well, maybe not because I lost almost every one of them. But we were in a fight one day. We were about four. And we got in a fight over whose dad was faster. We went to blows over it. And I remembered nose to nose with my twin brother. My dad's faster than your dad. And I was so caught up with this. Want my dad to be the best. My dad. And we fought over it. And I think that we ought to leave here today. My dad's the best. He happens to be God. But He's the best. He's my Father. And Jesus is our elder brother. And that's why in Hebrews 2:11, Jesus says He's not ashamed of us. You know why? Because it says we share the same Father. In the Greek, it's source. Jesus said, you came from the same womb I came from. We're blood brothers. Powerful stuff. You're not orphans. You're not, yeah, we're adopted, but we actually are literally spiritually born again into Christ. By the operation of God, Colossians 2, God has put us into His Son. So when you said yes to Jesus, you got translated out of darkness and put into Jesus. And now your history is His history. And to the degree that you can acknowledge the Word of God over your history, that is the degree that you're going to have the emotion of joy. Ames, we were just going to move on quickly from, we'll pick up this committing side, verse 5, in next week or 2 weeks, but To go back over this, you can determine that delight is an emotion. How would you define delight? Isn't it? But it's an emotional word, right? Delight is emotion. When you are delighting, like when I was delighting in Amy and having all those butterflies, where I picked up an acorn seed. I still have that acorn seed, Ames. From our first date in Dallas. I put it in my coat pocket. And about 15 years later, I found that acorn seed in my pocket. I still have it. I should plant it. But I hold that acorn seed and it brings me back. How many of you can grab something and bring you back to that moment, that place? God created you with emotions. You don't have to be tossed around like a rag doll by emotions. Make your emotions submit. Make your emotions. And you make your emotions that you're bringing your soul under the power of God's Word. And then, like a flower, guys, your emotions will open up. I tell people, you want to have a strong mental mind. I mean, you want to be strong mentally. Read the Word of God out loud, five psalms every day, out loud, not mumble it, out loud. Read five psalms out loud every day, and your brain will be like a steel trap. God's His Word will make your mind super strong. And you won't be given over to emotions that are destructive. You know, people, because in an emotional weak state, have done things that have cost them their lives, their marriage, their business. Get yourself into this place. It's a decision that you can make today. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. Think about how cool pleasure is. God is a God of delight and pleasure. Eden. Do you know what Eden means? The Garden of Eden. It was a garden of delight, or actually the garden of pleasure. God wants us to walk securely, knowing that Abba Father is here. The Holy Spirit is with me. I've got Jesus with me. My eyes are on His promises. And He is providing. It says here, He will provide for you what you desire most. A lot of us don't even know what we desire most. I asked that question to him. I said, I don't know. What do you desire? God will fix it. He will do it. He will straighten things out. He'll put supernaturally. You know, back when I was going to college, when I got saved at 15, 3 months before my 16th birthday, I felt like I heard God say there was a call in my life. And you asked me what it was back then, I had no idea. Our family never went to church. I've been born again a couple of weeks. What's a call? So I go through my rest of high school. And I go to college because I don't know what to do. I end up being an accountant. Why? I don't know. But I can tell you that in my deep heart, I wanted to walk with God and bless people. My nickname in first grade was the Band-Aid Bandit because I would bring Band-Aids to school in case somebody, and this was the day I'd been waiting on, a kid really tumbled in the playground. Both knees were just terrible. I had him in the bathroom. We cleaned off the wounds, and I had applied Band-Aids. First grader. Of course, it was a pathetic, but there was something in my heart that wanted to fix people. I wanted to fix people. That's what pastors like to do. And then later, you know, when I started growing up, I mean, just... all of a sudden, somehow I get elected to be the captain of the football team. You know, as a captain, you got to be able to get a bunch of people that don't a lot of times want to go in the same direction to help move in the same direction. So in all the different things in my life, I can look back and say that God, You knew my heart and what You had called me for. And all it took was for me to get in alignment with You, for You. And here I am as a 25, 27-year-old guy. I'm working for Exxon, playing racquetball, in a wrong girlfriend relationship. I'm still being a blessing in the church a little bit. But my life was stuck. But I was still loving God and His Word. And then when I finally said, yes, God, I want You more than anything. 22 months from that decision, in that car on San Felipe Avenue in Houston, Texas, where I was bawling my eyes out, crying out, I will not live selfishly. God, I want You. 22 months later, Amy, you and I are married and in San Diego, California. And I'm pastoring a church and preaching my first message. How fast God can take a person that maybe still is in a state of confusion and, you know, not fully committed. How fast? When you surrender everything and say, God, I want You more than I want my next breath. How fast He can give you. If you make it about need, God will meet your needs. But it's much more. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. You're not mere men. I'm looking at, you guys aren't mere men. Mere women. You're not. You're God's sons. You've got, your DNA is different than the average guy out there. Make Him your delight. Say these words every day. Father, I just want you to know, I think you're great. I think you're awesome. I'm so glad you've blessed me with eternal life. If you're living out of a dumpster, you could still be overwhelmed with the future that God's given you. So in your mind, make God great. Brag about Him. Sing about Him. Dance about Him. Well, the Bible says in Zephaniah 3, it says that God is so in love with us that He's dancing over us. The word is to twirl and squeal. It doesn't even mean to sing. That word which says God is over us in Zephaniah 3, it means to twirl and squeal with delight. Now that's pretty cool. That Almighty God, your Creator, thinks you're so great and He's dancing over you. I've got plans for you. You don't see it, child, but I'm greater than them all. All these enemies of yours, we're going to stomp on them together, and you're going to go from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory. It's going to be wonderful. My plans, I think, for you, says the Lord, thoughts to do you good and to give you a future filled with hope. Stand on your feet. We'll pick this message up next week or the week after. Say this with me. Jesus, thank you today for being my Savior. Father, thank you for being my dad. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for being my best friend and walking with me on this earth every minute of every hour of every day. I determined today to get my thinking straight, to put you in proper perspective and a proper place. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to respect you. And I'm going to love you deeply with all my heart, all my strength, with all my joy. I am going to make you my utmost delight and pleasure. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now we got cake. How good is that? Buttercream icing. So, guys, we have the cake outside. And this cake is in celebration of the precious Orndorff family. We are dismissed.